Lord, we do need to see You afresh today. I pray that You will enable me to say words that will enable people to see You a little bit more clearly as I speak from these Scriptures. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will be our teacher. I pray this in Your name and for Your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the title of my message this morning is Celebrating with All the Saints. I said as we started the service that today is All Saints Day. It's a day of great celebration, and liturgical churches all over the world are celebrating All Saints Day. It's also the fifth anniversary to the date that we had our first worship service here. And I know a number of you were here. I know Mary and Bill Peeler were here. And we've come away since then, haven't we? I was nervous as I could be that first Sunday, shaking like an aspen leaf in a windstorm in Colorado. And I'll tell you, God has blessed us enormously. And so we thank all of you who are here and gathered together. Well, All Saints Day, the day when we celebrate the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, as it says in our Nicene Creed. The saints, I love, it's a marvelous thing to be here on All Saints Day, looking up into, look at this great cloud of witnesses, looking at a number of martyrs around here. You'll see busts of the martyrs. And as R.B. read from Revelation, you see these are some of those who were martyred and killed and are part of the great cloud of witnesses. They're in glory. Well, you also are part of the great throng, every one of you. I have a dear colleague named Carl Beckwith. In fact, this morning as we're meeting here, Carl, who is a professor here at the Divinity School, is leading his Lutheran church in the celebration of All Saints Day. And he told me this week, he told me this story. He said several years ago, a man, I'm not sure how long ago it was, a man in his church came up one day and he said, "I get confused about these saints. Who are the saints? I hear that you read according to St. John or St. Mark, and you'll notice here we've got the various saints laid out." He says, "How does one get to be a saint?" And Carl said to him, "Sir, you are a saint, because you've given your life to the Lord. So you're one of the saints just as much of those who've gone on." Now, some of those who've gone on have been set apart. They've done things that we want to remember and thank God for. But you are saints. You are a saint like everybody else. And so this morning, I say to you, you all are saints. You're saints as well as these in the great rotunda here and those depicted on the side. Carl said it was a particularly important thing that he said that to that man that day, and he said the man received it and just felt a gratitude. That was on Sunday. On Monday, in his work, as he was down in a pit working, a huge boulder fell on him and crushed his head, and he died. Here was a man that the day before had heard with assurance that he, because he knew and loved Jesus, was one of the saints. And he very quickly went from this earth to be one praising with them, to be part of that great throng. And as I look out here this morning, Dr. Bill, your dad is up in the cloud of witnesses now. Your mom sitting next to you. Andrea, your mother has crossed over, and she's up with the great cloud. But we're singing with them today. As we sing these hymns like For All the Saints, and we'll be singing marvelous hymns today, I want you to realize that you are entering in to the great chorus, to the great songs of heaven, the same as those that are up there. I want you to know this. Well, I'd like you to turn, if you will, to our Revelation 7 text. And to put this in perspective, and I know Jonathan Lookadoo is doing an able job of teaching this book on Sunday mornings in our adult Sunday school class, but I want us just to listen to these words in chapter 1, verse 10 from St. John the Evangelist's Revelation. And he says in verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What he meant was he was alone with the Lord in prayer. And when he entered into this time of prayer in the secret place, a mystical consciousness of the Holy Spirit's presence came upon him. And he said, the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, write what you see and send it to the churches. There were seven churches he was to write this for and send it to them. But that letter has gone out to all the churches for 2,000 years since it went to those seven. So this is for us today, every bit as much as it was for those churches. Well, on All Saints' Day, we celebrate the vision that this dear man had. And I'm particularly interested in pointing you to the verses 9 through 12. And you have it in your order of worship, but you also have it in the pew rack in front of you, the same ESV translation, if you like to get a Bible in your hands. I do. I like to feel my Bible. But R.B. read these words to you very well, and you already can hear them. But I want you to think about them right now. These words in verses 9 through 12 are really a fulfillment, a Christological fulfillment of what the prophet was prophesying in the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 22, verse 3, where the psalm says, God is enthroned. He indwells the praises of Israel, His chosen people. Now, here is Christ in glory, and John the Evangelist saw Him, and he saw Him on the throne, God on the throne, and the Lamb, and all these people gathered around the throne seeking praises. Jesus was enthroned then, and He's enthroned now in the praises of His chosen people. And this is what we celebrate today, and we enter into it today in a special way. I think this is just a marvelous scene. After I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. What I like about this gathering that's depicted here in Revelation chapter 7 is there's no multitasking going on. Every now and then our grandchildren will come and visit, and I will be looking forward to being with them. I sit down and they come into the family room, and invariably one or two of them has earphones on listening to some music, and they're also playing a video game on their hand iPads and still trying to carry on a conversation with me. That's not the way it is in that throne room. There's no multitasking. Every eye is riveted on the King of Kings. Every tongue is crying out to Him in praise, not to some musician who's entertaining them or the artist who put together their video game. Well, these saints who have crossed over, and you and I will cross over one of these days. We don't know when. No one knows when. But we will cross over, and as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, we will no longer see ourselves in the mirror darkly. We'll no longer see Him dimly, but we will see Him face to face. Mary and I were talking this morning as we were driving over, thinking of various members of our family who now see Him face to face. But we're coming in with them to sing the hymns. We're coming in with them to say, we're rehearsing to be there with you in person when we no longer see it dimly. Well, I'd like you, as you think of this great celebration and this appropriate text of Revelation 7, to look for a moment with me at the words from our gospel reading this morning. These texts are always woven together. And in John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus reveals, when the issue comes up about what will happen to Lazarus, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever, man, woman, child, whoever believes in me, though he or she die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks this question, do you believe this? Mary read that with a passion this morning. Do you believe this? I see a lot of heads saying yes. In the wake of what Jesus said, he spoke three commands that were in this text that Mary read this morning. There are three commands here, and I want you to think of them, and I'd like you to take something away with you from them. First of all, in verse 39, this is John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 39, Jesus is led to the tomb, and then he says to some of the people around there, take the stone away. There's an obstacle to me getting to this man right now. Take the stone away. That was the first command. They roll the stone away. Then in verse 43, Jesus says a command to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Come out. And then there's a third command in this text. A third command in verse 44, where he looks out among all those people gathered round who have pulled the stone away, probably agnostically thought, oh my golly, what's going to happen? There's going to be this terrible stench. What's he doing here? Lazarus, come forth. And then they see him come forth and try to picture the scene. Here's a man wrapped in strips of cloth. And he's shuffling out. He's shuffling. And Jesus offers the third command. Billy Smith, unbind him. Sisters and brothers standing around, Jesus says, you unbind him. I've breathed life into him. I've called him out. I got the stumbling block between him and me out of the way. I've called him forth and breathed life into him. Now you come and unbind him. Do the work of the church. Saints, until you go up here and are part of this great throng, you and I have a job to do. And this is what I want to challenge you with this morning. We have an assignment. We are called to roll away the stones in life that are impeding people from coming to the Lord. A lot has been delegated to us by our living God. You say, well, I thought he was sovereign in all things. He is. Well, why can't he do it on his own? He can. But he's chosen to have you and me get involved in the process. He has delegated and given us a privilege to be a part of this work. You remove the stone. It's like he said in Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35, the harvest is ready, but there are not enough workers. What does Jesus say? Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers. He could just raise them up, but he said, no, Franklin, I want you to pray. I want you to pray to raise up workers. Dr. Walter, I want you to pray for God to raise up workers.